The verse I'm just looking at is from the CC, Adila chapter 7, and the text is 92. Translation. My dear child, continue dancing, chanting, and performing sankirtan in association with devotees. Furthermore, go out and preach the value of chanting Krishna Naam, for by this process you will be able to deliver all fallen souls. Purport by Srila Prabhupada here. It is another ambition of the spiritual master to see his disciples not only chant and dance and follow the regulative principles, but also preach the Sankirtan movement to others in order to deliver them. For the Krishna conscious movement is based on the principle that one should become as perfect as possible in devotional service oneself and also preach the cult for others' benefits. Summary of everything there, really. There are two classes of unalloyed devotees, namely Goshtiyanandis and Bhajanandis. Bhajanandis refers to one who is satisfied to cultivate devotional service for himself, and Goshtiyanandi is one who is not satisfied simply to become perfect himself, but wants to see others also take advantage of the holy name of the Lord and advance in spiritual life. The outstanding example is Prahlad Maharaj. When he is offered a benediction by Lord Nrisimhadev, Prahlad Maharaj said, My dear Lord, I have no problems and want no benedictions from you because I am quite satisfied to chant your holy name. This is sufficient for me because whenever I chant, I immediately merge in the ocean of transcendental bliss. I only lament to see others bereft of your love. They are rotting in material activities for transient material pleasure and spoiling their lives, toiling all day and night simply for sense gratification, with no attachment for love of Godhead. I'm simply lamenting for them and devising various plans to deliver them from the clutches of Maya. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains in his Anubhasya, a person who has attracted the attention of the spiritual master by his sincere service likes to dance and chant with similar developed Krishna conscious devotees. The spiritual master authorizes such a devotee to deliver fallen souls in all parts of the world. Those who are not advanced prefer to chant the Hare Krishna mantra in a solitary place. Such activities constitute, in the language of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, a type of cheating process in the sense that they imitate the activities of exalted personalities like Haridas Thakur. One should not attempt to imitate such exalted devotees. Rather, everyone should endeavor to preach the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in all parts of the world and thus become successful in spiritual life. One who is not expert in preaching may chant in a secluded place, avoiding bad association, but for one who is actually advanced, preaching and meeting people who are not engaged in devotional service are not disadvantages. A devotee gives the non-devotees his association, but is not affected by their misbehavior. Thus, the activities of a pure devotee, even those who are bereft of love of Godhead, get a chance to become devotees of the Lord one day. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur advises that one discuss the verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Naitam Samacharya Jatu Manashapihi Anishwaraha, 10:33-31. And then following verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Anashaktasya Vishayan Yathartam Upayunjita Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1:2-255. One should not imitate the activities of great personalities. One should be detached from material enjoyment and should accept everything in connection with Krishna's service. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Krupasindubhayivacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. So many hundreds of points in the purport. That's a very nice purport. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking to the Mayavadi sannyasis, that pastime. Lord Chaitanya in five features, Prakashananda Saraswati Thakur and the team, and a very wonderful purport there with so many points. Specifically, this is leading up to Friday when we begin the Prabhupada Marathon. So everyone is gearing up here. So I thought we'd speak a little bit about the history of the marathon, some stories of the marathon, and maybe all of you may have some wonderful stories of the marathon, because not everyone gets the opportunity to speak on the festival day. So if you have a story, keep it in mind at the end. They're always good. Srila Prabhupada's books, and it is a book marathon at the end of the day. Often, you know, when we say we're in the marathon, so people get a bit confused. We're doing a marathon. Generally, you know, your friends and families and others, you'll say, we're in a marathon. A marathon generally means you're running from here to Brighton. So people wonder, what is this marathon you're doing? It's a book marathon. And the book marathon obviously is interesting. Prabhupada's books have reached more people, more souls, than the books that were done by the best-selling author Stephen King. You always see his books everywhere, Stephen King's book. And it's interesting because Stephen King began his career at the same time as Prabhupada in writing. And then when he was in his 60s and 50s, he started writing. But Prabhupada's books have outgrown his, just as an interesting point, which is the biggest selling book in the world, a single title. It is the Bible. The Bible, it is the Bible, yes. It's a single. They give a variety of numbers, but they do speak in the region of about 20-25 billion. But nobody knows, because so many different people print it, so they can't keep a tab on it, but they're saying in the region of 25 billion which have gone out over the period of time that they've been around. So it's a lot. They've been around a lot longer, 2,000 years, so they've had time to print them out. The second most popular title? They don't know about the... I think it's only 1,500 years, but I'm sure they're getting up there. Anyone? It's Harry Potter. It's the series of Harry Potter books. They're number two. Number two, and amazingly, so if you... When you do meet someone on the street, you can say, do you know Harry Potter is number two. But then you can come out with a second, the third line that you can have is, but did you know that this book is the third most sold book in the world, and it's called the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita. So there's a line for you to use to get people interested. It's the third most, and I think when they say it, and Prabhupada's Gita obviously is the most contributing factor to that Gita. There are other Gitas as well, because their figures are based on the Gita, really. But Prabhupada's Gita really is the biggest selling Gita from in 73, I think. They sold so many of them that it became the biggest selling Gita by any author. That before then, I think maybe another authors that have produced them. And to date, I think a month ago, the figures of how many books we have sold since book distribution began in 65, 66, when our records began, 65, 66 maybe, is as follows. We have sold 503,385,383 books, to be exact. The number of books we've done to date, which is over half a billion books that have been distributed. I think they have. I think in last year they had a record in looking at their figures. Last year, around the world, 8 million books were sold. That's the largest since 1995. 1995, they had probably more than that. But since then, they never got to this figure. And last year, they got to this 8 million books. 8 million books. And leading the charge in the most number of books sold around the world is India. Is India. When it began in 1965 and in the 70s, India wasn't selling any books. And now it's outdone everyone in the world, where the majority of books are sold, BBT books now. The biggest seller, as far as any temple is concerned in the world, is Delhi, ISKCON Delhi. ISKCON Delhi, in their international book points, according to the international book points, you know, you get a certain point for a size of book. So it has surpassed, the Delhi temple has surpassed 1 million book points. The only temple to do that. It's quite amazing. A first for any ISKCON temple, 1 million book points. I don't know how many we're on. But ISKCON Delhi is on that. And second would be? Anyone? Mayapur, yes. Second is Mayapur. And they're on 652,000 book points. And third would be? The manor? Yes, Ananda Chaitanya's the winner of many book marathons. He knows all of these things. Juhu. And they are on 648, right behind Mayapur there. So it's interesting that they've... and Mayapur has been second for the past 4 years in the world, and Juhu's been third for the last 3 or 4 years as well. And I think the PBT in their innovations have released the e-books now, so that's another thing. And I think if you look at all the new BBT publications, there's a number or an email address, and you can get an e-book equally. There's always the paradox that will e-books take over? They're definitely taking over, because it's easier if you're traveling anywhere to have a Kindle and all your books are on one gadget instead of having so many books. But equally, the review shows that still people want the physical book to read. People equally want the physical book to read. And hence, they don't think that in the future that the physical book will not exist. People still have a think about a physical book. But regardless, for us, it's distribution of books, whether they're reading the physical book or they're reading the e-book in whichever capacity. So as you can see outside, our goal and targets are there for everyone to see, that what we want to achieve this year. Last year we got to 35,000 books. So this year we want to get to 40. Last year 400 devotees had gone out, which is massive. So this year we want to go up by 100 more. So 500 devotees going out. So there are targets, and there's a variety of ways. You don't have to be physically on the street. You can be at the manor. You can be visiting shops. You can be visiting doors. Whatever, whichever your innovation, as our purport was speaking about, the innovation which you may have in distributing whichever number of books you want to do. The brief history of the marathon begins on December the 22nd, 1972, in Los Angeles, when the devotees, they noticed that the shops were very busy. And maybe it was a good time to sell the books. So, because people may be looking for spiritual gifts. It's a good term, isn't it? Spiritual gifts. People want to look for something different, because they've bought socks, tangerines, all the regular things that you buy. What else can you buy? So a spiritual gift might be good. It's a good thought there. So devotees started distributing books, and there was a healthy competition. And in the Los Angeles temple at 10 o'clock at night, Rameshwar came back after a very long day, and he thought he had won. No one had told each other that there was a competition, but he thought, I'd won, because normally he would distribute 40 to 50 back to Godheads. On that day, he had stayed out till 10 o'clock at night, and he had done 650 magazines. And he thought, no one can do that. And no one will be out till 10 o'clock at night. So he arrived in the temple exhausted, and he walked around, and it was very quiet, and he thought that everyone was sleeping. And as he looked around the temple, all the rooms were empty, because all the others still hadn't come back. Unknown to each one of them, they'd all thought, let's beat the other. And so that was the first ever Christmas marathon. That's how it began, unknowingly. And it was only 3 days, December 22nd to December 24th. Only 3 days. And the devotees had sold 5,000 to 6,000 books every day. So it was only 3 days at that time. So I don't know whether we can go back to 3 days. We'll have to have a discussion with Vishwambar Prabhu in the future about, can we go back to 3 days? But now it's a month-long marathon. Well, there are many marathons, of course. But what happened after that, Prabhupada became so enlivened by that, that they were selling 5,000 to 6,000 books every day, that he wrote the following letter, which then set book distribution on fire, because anyone who read it thought, this is what I need to do. The famous words of Prabhupada when he said, by this effort alone, all the book distributors are assured to go back home, back to Godhead. So this letter and its dramatic statement authorized the Christmas marathon, and it set the book distributors on a new high. that by this effort alone, all the book distributors are assured to go back home, back to Godhead. So, I think, and then as the years went on, that was 72, 73, of course, as I said, was when Prabhupada's Gita, it quickly outsold any other edition of the Gita in 73. And, of course, the Krishna book came out as well with George Harrison's introduction. And when devotees had gone to a concert, within an hour they sold 600 of those Krishna books. Because it was easy to sell. You just had to show George Harrison and, you know, what he'd written. So it was very easy. Everyone wanted to buy that. And by the end of 1973, over 4 million books had been sold that year. In 73. So I think we... And then what happened was famous book distributors came around. Many names. Anyone remember any of the names at that time? 70s? Tripurari. Yeah, I remember that name. Any other names you remember? Harinamananda. I think it was later, but yeah, he was there. Any others? Gopavrindapal. Yes, of course. Pragosh, not RGBC, but another Pragosh. Yes. Any others? Anyone remember? Charadeshna. There you are. Lavanga Latika was another one. Jadarani Guru Chandra Padma. Vaisheshika. He used to come to the manor and we used to meet him. He was always on his way to India. We would always meet him here. So he was another of so all of these individuals, all these names came up doing hundreds of books, hundreds and hundreds of books. This is 70s though, by the way. 74, 75, 76, 77, in that period. All of these devotees were there. And I remember speaking to Vaisheshika in 77, 78. And Dave is big as well. Divya Shakti. From the Mataji. Yeah. She made a lot of devotees with them. And that was in America? Yeah. Vaisheshika's line was at the airport that he would sell the books by repeating Lord Chaitanya's Sikshastikam. Straight from the book. He would say, all glories to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan movement, the prime benediction for humanity at large, which cleanses the heart. And then he would say good morning, and then he would just show the book and say that. And he sold hundreds of books. Equally at that time, Prabhupada wasn't impressed, however, when he learned that some book distributors were using deceptive tactics to evoke sympathy. So Prabhupada at that time he wrote, it is not advisable to make lies just to sell books. He wrote to ISKCON leaders, if we simply stick to describing how wonderful Krishna is, that will not be a lie. There is sufficient merit in our books that if you simply describe them sincerely to anyone, they will buy. So going on from there, two BBT parties were formed. One was Tripuraris, and the other was the BBT Library Party. And their goal was visiting prestigious universities and selling entire sets of books to professors. And Prabhupada, again, he spurred them on by his famous words in a letter that he wrote. He said, without books and magazines, what authority or what basis have we got for preaching? And then, I don't know which year it was, but then the GBC, they renamed the Christmas Marathon and they called it the Prabhupada Marathon. I don't know which year, but I do remember there was a change because everyone couldn't figure out why we're calling it the Christmas Marathon. It's actually the Prabhupada marathon. So so once again, to refocus on Srila Prabhupada. As the tradition has gone on, the methods of book distribution have varied over the years. On Sunday, Dhananjay and Vishwambhar Prabhu gave a whole seminar on that, and they do seminars throughout the country of methods of book distribution, of how you can very easily introduce Prabhupada's books. I know Vishwambhar and Dhananjay are always at the service stations visiting the different service station, but selling books by meeting individuals there. So they have got down the art of how to sell a book. And equally, as the population changed, because the number of people living in the building is very small now, and the people who are living outside is much bigger. So the dynamics has changed. In when we joined in 77, there was 98 odd people on the book distribution party. And there was three big parties. Two were men and one was ladies' book party. And that was the main job, really. There was nothing else. They would be traveling the whole country. But now that everything has changed, where there is more people living outside, Vaisheshika, he did something interesting, whereby he only had three people in his temple, but he had 75 householders. So he had a variety of methods of door-to-door, boxes, and the San Jose temple, because of that, in that year of the marathon, they became number three in America because of this turnaround. Because otherwise they would have just had three people going out. So instead he had, you know, nearly 100 people going out, and he became number three in the whole of America. So then everyone realized that this is something different. But the book distribution has an interesting history as well, I thought. Just looking at Prabhupada himself. The Prabhupada, when he moved from Vrindavan, he moved to Delhi. And specifically because he was going to go abroad, he really stayed at a temple. Anyone know the name of that temple? The Chipiwada Temple. And when Prabhupada, if you look at Prabhupada's passport, his address when he went to America is the Chipiwada Temple. And that's where he used to stay. The famous temple, if you look, he's staying upstairs, and there's a grill, and there's the temple dome comes to the top. He stayed there. And when he went back to India for the first time, and he arrived in Delhi, he stayed one night at the Chipiwada Temple. And his trunks were still there, and many of his books were still there. And he told Brahmananda, actually, majority of my work of translating my books was done here. Although much was done in Vrindavan, he said, but it was done here in the Chipiwada temple. And from there, of course, the Chipiwada district, because I was just there, they have paper merchants in that area, they have printers in that area. So Prabhupada not only would translate the books, then he had to go to the paper merchant to get it, buy the paper, then take it to the printer, then the printer would do the setting, and the famous printer that printed his book, Mr. Jain, wasn't it? Mr. Jain, Surendra Kumar Jain, who was the first person who printed Prabhupada's book. So he's in that area as well. So, and then after it was printed, he'd have to go and collect it, and then he would go to the tea stalls in Delhi. So these were all the Back to Godhead magazines, by the way. That's what which he had started. And when he was there, at the Chipiwada temple, he met this army colonel who had a big mustache, and he was drinking his tea, and Prabhupada was selling him the magazine, and he said to Prabhupada, Swamiji, why are you wasting time with these magazines? They have no value. You should print books. That will be better for your mission. So Prabhupada acted on the advice of this gentleman who was drinking his tea, because he saw that Krishna was speaking through him. So that's where it went from magazine to book at Chipavada. But Prabhupada realized that books are much more beneficial. And when they recently, ISKCON just acquired this place, and when we acquired it, because Prabhupada had said to Gopal Krishna Maharaj, he said, I want this temple. It belonged to the Pushtimag. And a pujari who had lived there since that time somehow got the deeds to stay there. Nobody could move him out. So Prabhupada always wanted this place. He said, this is a very important place. We just acquired it 6 months ago. 6 months ago. So if you go to Delhi, you can go to Chipavada and see where Prabhupada had stayed in very humble surroundings. Specifically, the book distribution history is there for us. So if you're... And printing history of printing our books is in that place. And Prabhupada, there are many, many stories that Prabhupada, when he came, when his books were being printed at a very large printing press, which was an 80-foot machine, very, very big, and he came to see the printing being done. When he arrived with his disciples and all the managers of the printing press were there and the workers, they were busy printing. And when Prabhupada saw the machine, he paid his full dandavats. And so did his disciples. And all the printing people were wondering what was going on. That this Swamiji was paying, he wasn't paying his respect to the printer, it was to the printing press. And when they inquired, why did you do this, Prabhupada? He said, this printing machine, this press is an incarnation of Vyasadeva. It's an incarnation of Vyasadeva. And hence, I paid my respects to the printing press. I think there are many, many wonderful stories which we get at this time of the year. Does anyone have one?